President Biden just gave the green light to the Willow Project, drilling for oil in the Arctic, after he campaigned against it. Here he is in February 2020.
No more drilling on federal lands, period, 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 period.
He also didn't join other Democrats in supporting a D.C. crime bill, which Republicans shot down. So after passing progressive legislation in the first half of his presidency, he seems to be pivoting. For an historical perspective on possible presidential pivots, let's bring in Princeton presidential historian Julian Zelizer. Hi, Julian.
Hi there. Nice to be with you.
Well, nice to have you, because you will help us underscore that things always aren't as black and white as they appear in the political world. And if we go back to the drilling in the Arctic, what's called the Willow Project, the Biden administration has really been wrestling behind the scenes, you know, torn between commitment to be more environmental and stop the use of gas and the need for fossil fuels in the short term. Fill that out for us.
Yeah, I think it's all of the above, and that's what makes characterizing these difficult. Part of it we're learning is legal, and the sense from the administration that if this went to court, they would lose, that the company ConocoPhillips has pretty good claim to being able to do this. And then finally, it's what it looks like. Certainly for many environmental activists, whatever the behind the scenes or the wrangling within the administration, it looks like an abandonment of an important cause.
Sure. The president is confronting a huge TikTok campaign on the part of American college students. The administration kind of narrowed it down from 5 drilling spots to 3. They said they're protecting some wildlife. But as you said, this is a part of being presidential, threading this needle. How do you think the president is doing, and what do you think he's weighing as we come out of the midterms and go into a presidential election?
Yeah, look, presidents do this at every point in a presidency, and you're constantly making compromises, which you know will anger at least a segment of your constituency. And then after midterms, going into presidential elections, this is a very common story. I think the administration likes to play the long game. They're assuming there's enough legislation to prove some ways where Biden's heart is, and getting into the election, the president will make the case that overall the commitments remain strong.
But does a president make a misstep when they do something that is so clearly, at least to, you know, voters, political? I'm thinking of the D.C. crime bill, the Democratic-backed D.C. crime bill. He didn't join his party in supporting it. The Republicans shot it down. Most pundits are saying, look, the Republicans are making crime a huge issue going into the presidential election. He couldn't afford to support that. Is that completely political?
That certainly looks that way. And there he's going against where a lot of Democrats in Congress were. And so it's timing and sequence. You put all of this together and some other issues like the border, and it does look like Biden is moving to the center. This is in part going to be messaging. In part, it's going to be to highlight the budget, which is overall still pretty progressive in terms of taxation and spending. And I don't think there's any escaping this perception. It's simply a matter of how long the perception lasts and how much damage it causes.
You mentioned the budget. He released a budget proposal last week. This seems definitely like a political document because it has no chance or little chance of passing with Republicans in the House. But it does include, you know, progressive priorities like paid family leave, sending a message maybe there as well.
Sending a message, and all of it won't pass, but what you hope for with budget proposals is that some of it passes, bits and pieces pass, and those bits and pieces are what you campaign on. So I think the strategy is, rather than starting small, they're starting big, and they will negotiate away a lot of it. But if you can get 2 or 3 good items combined with pretty voluminous legislative record from the first 2 years, that will be enough going into 2024 to, again, excite Democrats and to walk away with real policy victories.
So it sounds like looking at the road ahead, the presidential election, the president, Biden, has to find the lane that will let him hold on to his own supporters, but maybe draw in independents who are looking at a DeSantis-Trump face-off where, you know, they may be hearing things that sound like an autocrat speaking from the former President Trump or Governor DeSantis talking about, you know, banning books or medical procedures for trans children, maybe trying to draw in those independents and try to hold on to his own progressives.
I think that's exactly what he's thinking. And if you think of other presidents who have this moment, Clinton in 96, he moved to the center after the midterms, but he faced Bob Dole, who seemed older. He seemed from a different generation. Obama faced Romney in 2012, who he could kind of pit as a embodiment of wealthy Republican politics. I think what Biden might be looking at is extremism. And even if he's making these compromises, there'll be a moment where he can say, well, look at the other guy. And at the same time, he might win over enough independents who, like in 2020, don't want to repeat the turbulence of the last administration. And so that's a political gamble that you make as you move to the center on certain issues, that in the end, the contrast will be quite clear between the parties.
Princeton presidential historian Julian Zelizer, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.